What's up, y'all? Summer's got a different tempo. Everything's a little looser, brighter. One plan turns into another. You hear something, you stay a little longer. Next thing you know, you're somewhere you didn't plan to be. It's those in-between moments. That's where the ideas hit. Conversations stretch out, little memories sneak up on you. And sometimes, it's just about what's in your hand. That color, that chill. The new Tropical Butterfly Refresher from Starbucks. Guava and passion fruit flavors with mango pineapple flavored pearls. Yeah, that feels like summer before you even taste it. Funny how one small stop becomes the best part of the day. Start your summer rhythm with Starbucks. Try the new Tropical Butterfly Refresher from Starbucks.
CBSI in the world. I'm John Batchelor. The Arab League welcoming Bashar al-Assad to its meeting. The Arab League welcoming President Zelensky of Ukraine to its meeting. These two events are discordant. And to understand how profoundly so, I welcome Josh Rogan, whose column identifies the ironies and the contradictions in the Washington Post. Josh, a very good evening to you. A little background, because Congress gets involved here. What is the CSER Act that is now on the books? Good evening to you.
Well, good evening, John. Well, the CSER Act, which is named after a Syrian military photographer, codenamed CSER, who escaped Syria with evidence of the worst systematic war crimes and crimes against humanity since the Holocaust. Tens of thousands of innocent people tortured and murdered in the custody of the Assad regime. This bill was named after him. The CSER Act simply says that anyone who helps Assad, gives him money, does business with him or his regime, gets sanctioned until or unless he stops torturing and mass murdering his own people. And Congress passed that overwhelmingly, and President Trump signed it, and President Biden promised to enforce it. But here we are, just less than 4 years later, and it looks like all of the Arab League countries are getting back into business with Assad. And it looks like they're welcoming him back into the fold and promising him all sorts of investments and incentives, mostly to get him to stop sending Captagon and other drugs into their society. This is kind of like paying off a drug dealer, essentially, not to sell to your kids. And a lot of people in Congress happened to notice that the Biden administration wasn't enforcing the CSER Act. They just weren't doing it. They were just turning a blind eye. They just didn't want to sanction any of these Gulf countries who are getting back into bed with Assad. So a bunch of congressmen got together and decided to pass a new bill. And that's what's happening now. It's called the Anti-Assad Normalization Act. And it's meant to force the administration to do what the CSER Act told them they should already be doing, which is to not look away while Assad becomes just another normal member of the Middle East diplomatic community again. Again, until or unless he stops mass torture, mass murder, lets all the people out of his dungeons and stops gassing children, etc. Now, this is not about regime change. This is not about a political solution. There's no politics in the CSER Act. It's just about the war crimes and the crimes against humanity. This is seen as the lowest common denominator, the very least we could do. You know, if Assad is not going to go, if he's going to stay, the last leverage that we may have in order to get these suffering people some justice or some accountability may lie in this legislation, if only the U.S. government would actually do its job and enforce the law.
The scene in Jeddah, Saudi Arabia, the gathering of the Arab League chiefs and President Zelensky in his very well-recognized T-shirt addressing the leadership and Bashar al-Assad. Said Zelensky, "I'm sure we can all be united in saving people from the cages of Russian prisons." I'm quoting from Josh's piece. "Unfortunately," said the president, "there are some in the world and here among you who turn a blind eye to those cages and illegal annexations. You tell me that Bashar al-Assad removed his translating headset while President Zelensky was speaking. Is that correct, Josh?"
Yeah. Can you imagine, you know, President Zelensky making a plea, begging the Arab and Gulf leaders to care about the plight of Ukrainians, Muslims who live in Ukraine, and to stand up against the war crimes. And then sitting amongst these very Arab League leaders is Putin's best friend, Assad, who's committing the same exact war crimes in many cases in conjunction with the Russian military. They're committing the war crimes together. And so that is, on one level, just bizarre. But what it looked like to a lot of people is that, you know, the Arab League was trying to, you know, distract people from the fact, this ugly picture of them accepting Assad, by pretending to hear out Zelensky. In other words, they were using him as window dressing, as a prop to distract from their horrendous embrace of the war criminal Assad. And sure enough, that Zelensky took that opportunity, because why wouldn't he take that opportunity to speak to any leader he could? But it seems pretty clear to me that, you know, if you're in the Saudi or UAE governments, you've already made your choice. These are governments that are actively helping Russia by propping up oil prices and undermining Western sanctions and helping Putin refill his coffers over and over again. They're doing that at the express opposition of the U.S. government and other European countries, and at a cost to our economy. And, you know, that's what they've decided. They've thrown in their lot with Putin, and that means Assad. And so in that sense, I think it was a really disrespectful thing to do to Zelensky, to make him sit there and stare at one of the leaders that's perpetrating the war crimes that his people are suffering from. But that's exactly what happened.
Back to Congress. You note that Adam Schiff of California, now a candidate for the Senate, and Michael McCaul, committee chairman Michael McCaul, endorsed this new legislation. Has the administration commented on the inconsistencies of its policies towards the CSER Act? And what's in it for the administration to bypass the CSER Act? How does it gain anything?
Well, that's a really interesting question, because I don't think the Biden people think they gain anything. I just think they decided that they don't want to do anything, and that they don't want to try to influence the events going on between the Arab League and Syria anymore. It's just a general malaise and a neglect and a taking your hands off of the steering wheel of this Syria policy, which, again, it wasn't the Biden administration. It was the Obama administration and then the Trump administration that put us in this position in the first place, where we claim to care. You know, we claim to have a stake, both in interests and a sort of values-based reason, both national security and because we care about human rights, in sticking up for these Syrian people who are suffering. But Biden administration, they're just too busy, basically. They just don't think they have the bandwidth to deal with any of that, and they don't want to make more problems with the Arab states than they already have. So they're just literally turning a blind eye. So I don't think they get anything out of it except, you know, to avoid seeming like that they're part of the problem in the eyes of these Arab countries, which is a pretty low bar when it comes to U.S. foreign policy.
There is a general opinion that the U.S. has left the Middle East, or is leaving, or no longer has persuasion in the Middle East. Is that accurate? And is this an illustration of it, that the Arab League can do this in defiance of the Congress?
You know, I think this is a direct consequence of a lack of attention and focus on the Middle East. And, you know, that's for a lot of reasons. But the bottom line is that when the United States retreats, bad actors fill the vacuum, and Russia and China have gained influence. And that comes at a cost to our interests. And a lot of people in Congress don't like that, and they're going to try hard to push the administration to do the right thing. But in the end, it's going to have to be the president who decides if America is going to lead in the Middle East or not. Right now, it's not looking so good.
And MBS, does he gain from this ploy of seating Assad and having Zelensky address the meeting?
Yes, MBS is positioning himself to be all things to all people, a U.S. ally, a friend to Russia, a client, a friend to China, and now a friend to Assad. And yeah, there's real a contradiction there. But again, in the absence of the U.S. caring enough to do anything about it, he's likely to only grow more powerful. And I think that's a dangerous thing for Saudi Arabia, for the region, for the world.
Josh Rogan, writing global opinions for The Washington Post. I'm John Beck.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
This is Kristen Davis from Are You a Charlotte? For timeless style that still feels fresh and modern, Tuckernuck has become a favorite shopping destination. From elevated classics like denim, striped tees, and crisp button-downs, to chic looks for weddings, vacations, and everyday life, Tuckernuck makes getting dressed effortless. Plus, they curate an incredible mix of brands, with new arrivals dropping daily. Visit tnuck.com and use promo code IHEART for 15% off a first purchase.
Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers. And $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Lots of places can expose you to identity theft. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. If we find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, we alert you right away, all through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Save up to 30% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.